In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have the celebration of Martyr Maxim, Hiram Martyr Maxim Sendevich. And he was one of thousands who were put into the gulags and eventually executed. And it just turns out, I didn't remember his story. Jenny was telling me, because I wasn't positive, I thought I knew his last name, but I didn't want to say it wrong. And he was begged by his home village to be priest. And this was a dangerous time. He came back. He was educated in Russia, came back to his home village, and then he was arrested and eventually martyred. Well, the day when he was arrested, his wife was pregnant with his son, who would be another Maxim and would eventually be the priest in that home village years later. And the reading for a martyr is this one about, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." And it's really a striking reading. And it has something in it that I've often wondered about. I wonder, would I be able to speak? And what would make me able to speak? The gospel says this: when they deliver you up, take no thought about how you shall speak or what you shall say, but it shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaketh in you. I know that's true. But I wonder, why is it true? We live in very difficult times. Remember that in our lifetime, there was prisons. Well, maybe not some of our lifetimes, huh? Because some are young enough that they don't remember communism. They don't remember the gulags in Russia. But when I was a child, they were present. And certainly those who are older than me would remember them very well. And some people have family members that might have been in those gulags, right? Right in this very church, people might have some of them might have had family members. So it's not long ago that there was terrible persecution, people being killed, people being tortured, people being experimented on because they were Christian. And some of the things that happened in communist countries or former communist countries are the kinds of things that we can see moving in our society now. Now, is our society going to become communist? I don't know. It certainly is becoming anti-Christian. Not even post-Christian, but anti-Christian. So what's going to happen? I'm not a seer of mysteries. I can't tell you if there will be prisons and if there will be gulags and if there will be interrogations. But I can tell you for sure that many Christians fall away because of worldliness or because there's not power in what they are living, and then they just get swept away by the tide. And there is a kind of persecution that is increasing. And in my opinion, absolutely it will increase. But it will be the kind of persecution, for the most part, that a person won't get a good job unless they shut up, or something like that. But there might be people put in prison and executed. It might happen. I make a joke with my wife sometimes that at least I'll know how to get around since I go to the Texas prisons. But then watch, they'd send me to a federal prison and I wouldn't have any idea. How can we know what word to speak? Whether it's a time of persecution or whether it's just negotiating, living in a completely, or working in a completely leftist company and trying to keep our head down and not get fired, but also not trying not to deny Christ in the things we say and the things we do. How do you know what to speak? And the Spirit tells us how to speak. Well, how does the Spirit do this? The second gospel tells us that. The second gospel is about the householder who has the vineyard. Now, it's really kind of two parts to this parable. There's the bad guys and the good guys. And the bad guys are the ones who are emphasized, right? The bad householders who literally even kill, which of course is a not so veiled reference to Jesus Christ himself, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the ruling elite definitely knew that he was talking about them when he gave this parable. Pretty much the bad people are probably three quarters of the parable or more. But the beginning of the parable and the end of the parable is what's really the most important part. Because you don't learn to be good by learning about bad and trying not to do the bad. That's not how you learn how to be good. You learn how to be good by becoming good, by learning, by doing good, by experiencing good, by being around good people, by reading about good people, by praying, by loving your brother, by forgiving your brother. That's how you learn to be good. So really, the bad, the householders and the things they did, I'm not so interested in it. I preached about it before. It's important to know. And I'll have to give you this caveat again, this parenthetical statement that I say so often. The reason it's not so important to me is because I know it, because I've read it many, many times. Some of you have not read it many, many times, and you might not know exactly what I'm referring to. But when I read it, I know what the householders did. I know the terrible things they did. So then I can concentrate on what I think is the most powerful part of this parable. It's the beginning and the end. So if you don't know this parable very well, you can always start reading. You can always start reading and working through the Gospels and struggling to learn them, because you can't learn to do good or be good without that example of good. So the beginning of the parable is basically describing what the householder has done. The householder is God, specifically the Father. Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. So all these things have meaning. The householder is God the Father. The vineyard is our soul. Just as a vineyard should produce grapes, should produce fruit, so our soul should produce fruit unto eternal life. And the hedge, of course, is the church, protecting us from the outside influences, worldliness and sin and corruption. Because a hedge protects you from marauders and from animals, from thieves. And he dug a wine press. Well, the wine press would be the Eucharist. We are fed with the body and blood of Christ. And what is the tower? Well, what is a tower for? A tower is to be able to look out along the landscape and see if there's any threats. So a tower is about vigilance, and it's about knowledge. It's about mindfulness. All these things are necessary for us to produce fruit. And he lets it out to husbandmen. That's us. Then he goes into the far country. That same idea of the far country in the parable of prodigal son. Well, no, not the, excuse me, not the parable of the prodigal son. That's a different far country. Excuse me. It's another parable. I'm not thinking of it right now. The talents. He went into the far country, right? That's the far country. Okay? Sorry. Sometimes you forget things. By the way, if you read St. John Chrysostom, it's really interesting because he, of course, didn't have a computer. He couldn't look up verses just like that. And he had almost encyclopedic memory and knowledge of the scriptures. But once in a while, he said something that didn't make any sense. Because, of course, he didn't have it. All the books right in front of him, it was from memory. So everybody makes a mistake. So I'm in the company of St. John Chrysostom, at least in that. Only in that. That I make mistakes with scriptures. So the far country is that the Lord will come back, but he's far away, right? It's going to take time. In coming back from the far country, that's our lifetime. So in your lifetime, you will be in the vineyard and you should produce fruit. Now the householders that didn't produce fruit, they not only didn't produce fruit, but they also killed and murdered and stole and they were destroyed. But then what does the Lord say at the end of the parable? He asks, what will we do? What should the Lord do to those men? And they say, well, these are very vicious men that he's talking to, these ruling elite. Well, of course, he should miserably destroy those wicked men, not knowing that he was really talking about them. So they were literally saying, you should destroy us because of our unbelief. And then he shall miserably destroy those wicked men and let out his vineyard to other husbandmen who shall render him the fruits in their seasons. That should be us. The husbandmen who are actually going to produce fruit. Now, I told you that these two Gospels are connected in that the Lord said that when we are in a position of stress, difficulty, where we have to say a word, the Spirit will speak the word for us. We don't have to prepare beforehand our defense before a spiritual court or before a firing squad or something, or even before a leftist coffee company or something, if you can think of one. We don't have to do that. But the reason why is because we live in the vineyard. Now, what do you do in a vineyard? Well, you do a lot of mundane tasks. You till the ground, you add fertilizer to it, you weed it, you prune the vines, you water. Perhaps there might be an infestation of something and you have to do something to get rid of insects or mice or something like that. It's just work. It's just farming. It's day-to-day labor. That's what it is. Day-to-day labor. Working in the vineyard. And that's what will allow you to be able to have a word if you are being persecuted or if you are in a situation where your faith is being tested. Working in the vineyard, and then by experience, you know God. It's really as simple as that. It's not complicated. You just work in the vineyard and struggle to be a Christian. You have your ups and downs, and the Lord will give you grace. And then if it comes to a situation where you're called upon to do some extraordinary thing, you'll be able to do that extraordinary thing, not because of your own abilities or because you've done a lot of book learning, but because your heart has been changed and you've become more of a Christian, more of a true human being in the image of Christ, and you'll be able to speak. That's it. That's why I don't think we should concentrate so much on the bad guys. We should concentrate on the good things that the Lord gave us in the vineyard. And that's why I talk to you so much about you should read the scriptures. And I am not too successful in convincing you for the most part. You got to read the scriptures. You got to read the Psalter. You got to have a prayer rule that's longer than just praying at meals sometimes. It's critically important. We live in difficult times. Even if there is not persecution, people are losing their faith because of the worldliness of even the church. There are people even in the church, even people that are wearing Episcopal robes in the church, that are saying things that are outlandish and worldly. And this pandemic has really brought that worldliness out among many. And there are many that are losing their faith. There are some that have not gone to church at all because they're terrified. Some of those people will never go back because they'll have been gone for 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, and they'll have lost that habit, and they'll have lost that spark of feeling God within them, and they'll just become secular. There will be people that do that. Maybe people that we know that have formally come here. That will probably happen. But if we work in the vineyard, then whether we're going to church or not, then we won't be in danger of that happening. So it really takes work and labor. And Christianity is really very practical. Of course, it's very mystical and spiritual, no doubt about it. But the way you get to the mystical and spiritual things, the experiencing of God in your heart, perhaps even miracles and visitations of grace, all those things, is by taking up a spade and a hoe and a wagon full of manure and going out into the vineyard and working. That's how you are able to have this ability to feel God in your heart, just by working in the vineyard. So what you do every day should be working in the vineyard, no matter what it is. I've had some discussions with some people recently about taking care of children. It's difficult to do, especially in church. It's hard. It's hard to pay attention to the prayers. But really, the children are our prayer. And I experience that now, too, because I take care of my grandsons twice a week. And sometimes I bring them to liturgy, and that's difficult. I'm trying to start to serve liturgy every Thursday for their sake. And that's difficult, too, because I can't find enough people to be able to take care of them and for me to serve and everything like that. But that's another story. But when you're taking care of your children, even in the most mundane things, like learning to count to 1, 2, 3, or taking them to the water park, or teaching them to read that favorite book that you will have read 10 times before it's 10 o'clock in the morning. That is working in the vineyard, because that's an act of love to your child, a necessary act to help them become a real person. And you have to go to work, perhaps. You're working in the vineyard when you're doing something that otherwise seems a little boring or maybe doesn't make sense, but you're doing it as well as you can because that's what you're paid to do. That's working in the vineyard. As a priest, I have, I don't know how many hats I wear, 100? And some of the things that I do, I just don't get a lot of satisfaction out of them. But I do them because that's part of working in the vineyard. And I do it. And I might not feel like that day particularly was that successful. I have many days that I feel, I have no idea what was successful. I guess I tried to do what I was supposed to do. But because I've developed some amount of consistency and the things that I tell you to do, I do myself, at least I've prayed for people. At least I've read the Psalter. Sometimes that's all I can say that really happened, that it seems it was notable. I prayed my prayers, prayed the Psalter, prayed for other people, and I'm not sure what else. It just seemed like I was running from one thing to another. I'm sure often you guys have that feeling too, one thing to another. But if we do it with the love of Christ in our heart, we're working in the vineyard. And that is developing your wisdom. You don't have to be reading St. Maximus the Confessor to develop wisdom. If you want to develop confusion, you can read him because he's really hard to understand. Really hard. But you can learn the things that he teaches by taking care of your children, doing a good job at work, reading the scriptures even though they're difficult and maybe they're boring, not watching so much TV, being kinder to your brother and sister, and all of these things that seem mundane, but they are actually the bedrock of our spirituality. Because they are mostly our relation to our neighbor. And of course, the greatest commandment is to love God, but you cannot love God. It's impossible to love God without loving your neighbor. So that commandment is as necessary as the commandment to love God, because you cannot love God without loving your neighbor. St. John is very clear about that in his first epistle. So we learn to love God by loving our neighbor. We learn to have wisdom in our hearts so that we could speak a word when we're called to speak a word, just by living in the vineyard and doing the things that God has told us to do. And when you're in a vineyard, you know exactly what you have to do. When you're in a vineyard, you are not raising potatoes. You're raising grapes. Therefore, you do the things that are necessary for the grapes. And the grapes grow. And there is fruit. And the fruit, in the context of our souls, is the virtues. Love, and humility, peacefulness, chastity, all those things in our heart. Just by doing what you're supposed to do today and tomorrow and the next day and the rest of your life, even when it seems mundane. That, if we do it as Christians, is what will make us able to speak a word. Now, don't make a mistake, though. Don't say, oh, Father Seraphim said, you know, as long as I take care of my children or do a good job at work, I can be saved. I didn't say that. That's part of it. But you better mix in a little bit of religion, too, you know. You better actually read the Bible, read the Psalter, come to the church services, come to confession, all those things. But if you read the Bible and knew it backwards and forwards and didn't love your neighbor, you can't be saved. You have to do both, because reading the Bible and all the things, all these spiritual exercises that we do, our fasting and everything else, that assists us in our work in the vineyard. May God help us to work in the vineyard and not be so scared about these times. They might get more scary. I think they will get more scary. But if we live as Christians in our day-to-day life, even when it seems mundane, if we live it in a spiritual way, doing those mundane things spiritually, then indeed God will be with us and will be sure of what to do in every situation. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.